Iran's presidential hopefuls take part in the first televised debate. Tehran substitute Fatah Pir's leader says June 14 presidential elections to preserve Iran's prestige. Iran criticizes Canada new trade ban on Iran. Syrian army advances against rebels in strategic cities. And people are killed and wounded in Baghdad mosque attack. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to the late edition of Iran in English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Iran's presidential candidates have held their first televised debate discussing their economic plans ahead of the upcoming presidential poll. The eight candidates offered their solutions to the country's economic problems and answered questions on major economic issues during the Friday debate, which was aired live on Iran's state TV. For each question, one candidate was chosen randomly to give his response. Then, other candidates shared their ideas. Presidential hopefuls Saeed Jalili, Ghulam Ali Haddadadel, Mohsen Rezaei, Mohammad Qarazi, Mohammad Reza Aref, Hassan Rouhani, Mohammad Baghir Ghalibaf, and Ali Akbar Velayati are among those participated in the debate. The eight candidates will explain their cultural and political plans during two more televised debates on the next Wednesday and Friday. Tehran's substitute Fatah Pir's leader says Iran's upcoming presidential election would preserve the country's prestige. Addressing worshippers, Hujjatul Islam Kazem Siddiqui said, people's massive turnout would convey the religious message taking roots from the enthusiasm of the people. Referring to the post-election riots in the country in 2009, the cleric said, Iranian nation spontaneously created the December 30th epic, and whenever it was necessary, thanks to their high wisdom and a broad-mindedness, they have been present at various scenes. He said mass turnouts of the nation showed their support for the Islamic establishment following post-election riots in the country in 2009. Hujjatul Islam Siddiqui also noted that it is hoped that the nation would repeat this epic once again at June 14th presidential elections. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman has criticized Canada for imposing a total trade ban on Iranian goods, saying the decision is part of the blame game played by Ottawa. Abbas Araghchi said, this decision is continuation of the Canadian government's projections against Iran because we did not have considerable economic relation with this country to be cut off. Araghchi's remarks came after Ottawa announced more illegal unilateral sanctions against Iran on Wednesday, including an overarching ban on nearly all exports to and imports from Iran, and a move to ramp up pressure on Tehran over its peaceful nuclear energy program. Canada's Foreign Affairs Minister announced the new sanctions on Wednesday. In December 2012, the Canadian government imposed restrictions on Iranian oil, gas, mining, metals, and shipping sectors. Syrian army has fully cut the supply routes of the foreign-backed terrorist groups in Homs and Al-Qusair as it recaptured the towns of Arjun and Barak. Several rebels were killed and injured during the army clashes. Both towns, located in the northern countryside of Al-Qusair, has been under the control of the rebel groups for at least 2 years. Security forces discovered several tunnels which were being used by armed groups to smuggle arms. Meanwhile, Syrian army ambushed terrorists who were trying to flee Al-Qusair city through Shamsin village near Homs Damascus Highway. Many insurgents affiliated to the so-called Al-Tawid Brigade were killed and injured in the ambush. In other news, rebel groups have carried out more deadly attacks in the northwestern governorate of Aleppo. On Friday, the militants fired rockets and artillery shells in the Shiite towns of Nabal and Al-Zahra, injuring dozens of people. Both towns are located in the countryside of Aleppo near Turkish border. Russian foreign minister said on Friday that he is disappointed with the UN's political games, adding that he wants a proper investigation into a reported Syrian chemical weapons incident. Sergei Lavrov said a thorough investigation into chemical weapons incidents must be completed.
We have repeatedly warned that there can be various provocations around this topic, and that is why we insisted on a thorough investigation of any information about the use of chemical weapons. We supported the Syrian government's request to send a group of non-partisan experts to investigate the incident that happened in Aleppo. And we are very disappointed that because of political games, the UN Secretariat could not answer the request quickly, but instead laid down conditions that were absolutely groundless.
In the meantime, a Russian arms manufacturer has decided to engage a new contract with Syria to deliver at least 10 fighter jets to Syria. General Director of the mega company, Sergei Karakov, said a Syrian delegation is in Moscow to finalize terms and deadlines of a new contract supplying MiG-29 fighters to Syria. Karakov did not say how many MiGs Syria is buying, but said it would be more than 10 jets. Russia, a main arms supplier to Syria, has defended its delivery of weapons to the conflict-torn country. Earlier on May 28, Moscow said it would go ahead with the delivery of S-300 systems to Damascus. President Assad also confirmed that the second shipment of the Russian systems will be delivered to Syria soon. At least 4 people have been killed and more than 17 others injured in a bomb explosion near a mosque in the Iraqi capital city of Baghdad. According to Iraqi police, a roadside bomb went off near a mosque in the southwestern district of Al-Sayyida as worshippers were leaving the Friday prayers venue. Meanwhile, 3 police officers were killed and 2 others were injured after gunmen attacked a security checkpoint in the city of Fallujah. The attacks come a day after 25 people were killed in a series of bombings across the Iraqi capital. There has been a recent upsurge in violence across Iraq, and over 1,000 people have been killed in the past 2 months. According to figures released by Iraqi security and medical sources, more than 600 people have been killed in May. The fourth strike made this year by the Lisbon subway workers has caused huge traffic chaos in the city, forcing people to wait and stand in long queues for many hours. Here's more.
The traffic in Lisbon this Thursday was a complete chaos because of the closure of the subway. A 24-hour strike was called by the Union's Federation of Transport Workers and will continue one more day, but only for some hours. With gates completely closed and no minimal service, there were no subway trains working. The strike was also visible in the huge queues forming at bus stops. Arriving and leaving offices and working places took much longer today than in a normal day. At stake is the cut and reduction of allowances, as well as the fusion of the company with Carris, Lisbon Urban Buses. Many subway users disagree with strikes as a way of fighting, suggesting workers should choose other ways to be heard. Behind the reasons for this appeal is the workers' complaint that the administration doesn't give a concrete answer to the questions made by the unions. This was the fourth strike made this year by Lisbon subway workers. The protests will continue till tomorrow, but from 6 in the morning on, minimal service are expected to start working, which will help to minimize the effects that were felt today in the traffic. Inês Subtil, Shabaka Kevar, Lisbon.
Fresh data revealed that the Eurozone unemployment rate has set a record high of 12.2% in April. The Eurostat data agency said a total of 1.6 million people have lost their jobs in the Eurozone during the past 12 months, leading to April. Around 26.6 million people were out of job in the entire European Union in April and 19.3 million in the Eurozone. Greece and Spain remained the hardest hit countries in the April ratings. The Eurostat also revealed that around 19.2 million people are receiving government financial assistance, as recession continues to take its toll on European economies. Europe plunged into a financial crisis in early 2008. The worsening debt crisis has forced the European Union states to adopt harsh austerity measures and tough economic reforms, which have triggered massive demonstrations in many European countries. Thousands of demonstrators from the anti-capitalist will Occupy movement have held a protest in the German city of Frankfurt over the worsening Eurozone debt crisis. The protesters took to the streets on Friday in a move to cut off access to financial institutions, including the European Central Bank and a Deutsche Bank headquarters and the financial district of Frankfurt. Witnesses said some of the protesters had hurled stones, as there were some clashes.
We demand an end to deportations and to end to the policies which create this crisis, which makes people's lives worse and worse. People are being sent back to their misery and into unemployment.
This comes as European stock markets fell and the euro drop against the dollar on Friday as the traders digested record-high Eurozone unemployment data following weak U.S. numbers. London's FTSE 100 index of leading shares shed 1.11%. Frankfurt's DAX 30 index fell 0.61%, while in Paris, the CAC 40 dropped 1.19%. Madrid gave up 1.37% and Milan slumped 0.79%. Violent clashes between Pakistani army troops and militants have claimed lives of at least 23 people in the country's troubled northwestern tribal region. More than 100 heavily armed militants attacked a military post in Upper Arakzai Agency. Pakistani military officials said three soldiers and 20 rebels killed in fierce fighting in the remote region. The militants had launched the attack to avenge the killing of Tehrik-e-Taliban deputy chief Veli Rahman Massoud in the volatile region of North Waziristan 2 days ago. Despite the Pakistani government's operations against the militants and associated groups, they have still been able to spread their influence in various parts of the country and kill thousands of people. New official data showed the number of U.S. citizens applying for unemployment benefits has unexpectedly risen during the past week. According to the U.S. Department of Labor, applications for state unemployment benefits increased by 10,000 to 354,000 during the period. The new figures indicate that companies in the U.S. continue to fire their workers. Nearly 6 million Americans are currently receiving jobless benefits. However, the actual figure would have been much higher if state authorities had not stopped extending benefit programs. The U.S. Federal Reserve said on May 15 that the country's industrial production dropped by 0.5% in April. The U.S. economy shrank by 0.1% in the fourth quarter of 2012, casting doubt on the strength of economic recovery in the country. And before wrapping up, researchers in Argentina say it may one day be possible to stop cancer in its tracks by starving tumors of the nutrients they need to survive and spread. The researchers say by manipulating a particular protein in breast cancer cells, they were able to suppress their ability to metastasize, opening new avenues of research into the treatment of breast and other types of cancers.
To generate new cells, the tumor needs oxygen and nutrients to be able to spread and to be able to metastasize. Therefore, I eliminate and block two crucial elements for the growth of the tumor, which are angiogenesis and tumor escape. Not only does it keep the tumor at bay, but the few cells that there are start to not be able to grow because they start to enter a phenomenon of cellular death. They put emphasis on what is called the tumor microenvironment in an attempt to block the blood vessels that are around, so the tumor will be left without blood vessels. On the other hand, it breaks the tumor's shields that prevent the immune system from killing it. And in this sense, one blocks both things to generate an enhancement of the immune response and to block vascularization. This is what our research consists of, trying to discover different sites that the tumors show to be able to say, here is the place where you can kill me.
And that's all for now. Join us tomorrow for the latest updates. Till then, take care and have a great time. Goodbye now.